Aloha mai kakou, and welcome to the Committee on Indian Affairs. As chairman, it is my great pleasure to welcome you to this special place in the Senate. And I want to tell you I'm delighted to have a partner here with me on this committee. And Senator Barrasso, of course, has served real well the years that he's been here in the Senate. Mahalo, or thank you, to all of our witnesses for being here to share your views on the President's budget priorities for tribal programs. I want to extend a special mahalo to those who have traveled so far to be here with us today. We have limited time to receive oral testimony, but the record on this hearing will continue to be open for 2 weeks. And I want to encourage tribes, Native organizations, and other interested parties to share your views with us in the form of written testimony. Before we begin, I want to share the Hawaiian concept of aloha with you to help you understand how I, as chairman, intend to lead on this committee. Aloha is a word that in Hawaiian is love. And each of you I know the word so well. And aloha is more than just a greeting or a farewell. When we say it to each other and when we work together, it means we do so in the spirit of caring for each other and out of a mutual respect for one another. It is my goal to conduct the business of this committee in the spirit of aloha, to encourage stakeholders to participate in the process, to listen to varying viewpoints, and to work together to address important issues. The federal policy of supporting self-determination and self-governance is vital for honoring our nation's unique relationship with America's First People. Tribal programs are tasked with delivering on promises made, implementing the federal responsibility to be a good trustee, and more importantly, partner for tribal nations as they exercise self-determination and enhance the self-sufficiency of their communities. While I am concerned with the several areas where funding requested does not adequately address the known needs, I am happy to see that the President's budget reflects the longstanding priority of tribes to strengthen self-governance in practical and meaningful ways. I would like to take a moment to introduce you to the newest additions to my hardworking team at the committee. My staff director and chief counsel is Loretta Toole. Loretta? My staff director and chief counsel is her responsibility. Serving as general counsel is Lena Aoki, and Jay Danner is our new policy director. Also new to the team are Josh Petrie and Christy Cardoza. Vice Chair Barrasso has served his state well here and also our country, and I'm delighted to be working with him, and at this time I'll ask him for any opening remarks he has.
Well, I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I look forward to working with you. We've had a number of very successful and productive meetings and discussions, and I look forward to continuing to work with you, as we have through the history of this committee, in a bipartisan way, looking for the best results. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank you for holding this important hearing today. This Congress, our work begins by examining the President's budget and the request regarding Indian programs. All of us on this committee recognize that the federal government has important responsibilities in Indian country. And, Mr. Chairman, I think you started by mentioning the responsibilities and obligations, and I concur with you. The United States provides law enforcement, land management, health care, education services on Indian reservations and communities across the country. And we all know that the government cannot carry out these responsibilities without adequate finances. We're all aware that the deficit is spiraling out of control, and all federal agencies are going to be called upon to address this problem. What that means is, more than ever, federal agencies need to prioritize the use of resources and must use the resources effectively as well as efficiently. So I'm looking forward to hearing from our federal and tribal witnesses today about how best to do that, how to establish the priorities and use federal resources with greater efficiency, greater effectiveness. I also want to hear, Mr. Chairman, how the Department of Interior intends to roll out the Indian Land Consolidation Program under the Claims Resolution Act of 2010. The court has not yet approved that settlement. That has to happen before the money gets spent. I understand that, but $1.9 billion is a lot of money, and how it gets spent is critical to the success of that program. So I hope to hear something, at least in general terms, about how the department thinks it may carry out that program. Finally, Mr. Chairman, along with you, I want to welcome our witnesses, some of whom you and I know have traveled long distances to be here and to share their best thoughts today in testimony. So I look forward to their testimony, and I want to thank you again, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Senator Barrasso. Would any of my colleagues, Senator Franken?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In a very tight budget year, we see that the President's budget proposes constant funding or relatively small cuts to Indian programs across agencies and in many important areas like contract health services, tribal law enforcement, and Indian energy development. This budget proposes increases that are sorely needed by Minnesota tribes and across Indian country. So that's good. But while these increases are welcome, they don't come close to meeting the dire needs in Indian country. Once again, the cuts in this budget come at the expense of critical programs like the construction budget for schools and detention facilities. The truth is that Indian programs just aren't a high priority for the federal government. We see that in this budget. On schools and detention facilities this year, it's my understanding that no new schools will be built with the requested funds for education construction. That's a shame for the students at the Bugo Nagishig School at the Leech Lake Reservation in Minnesota. That school is literally falling apart with exposed wires, mold, and ceilings that are caving in. None of us would feel comfortable sending our own children to these schools. And it's shameful that we ask parents in Indian communities to do so. I'm also concerned about the administration of various programs at the BIA and the Indian Health Service. We need to see more money for programs like contract health services and Indian energy financing, but only if the agencies responsible for these programs are administering them in a timely and transparent manner. I'm concerned that this isn't always the case, and I'm looking forward to discussing these issues more in depth today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Senator Franken. Senator Tester.
Chairman Akaka, thank you very much for holding this hearing. I, too, look forward to working with you on this very important committee as we move forward. And I want to welcome all our distinguished guests. It's good to see you all again. A special welcome to James Steele, the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribe in northwestern Montana. I can't guarantee that I'll be here when you testify, James, on a second panel, but I certainly appreciate you being here to lend your perspective. You have been a dynamic leader on the Flathead Reservation at the Montana-Wyoming tribal leaders, and now with the affiliated tribes of the Northwest. No matter what the job title, you have shown how important it is to build strong partnerships. I've known James since I was in the state Senate, and as a good example of partnerships is the National Bison Range. The range is located completely within the boundaries of the Flathead Reservation, and it only makes sense that the tribe would have a hand in managing that natural resource because they've been doing it forever. Although they are once enemies, James and I work with the Fish and Wildlife Service and other locals to figure out a way for everybody to work together. Today, the tribe and the government support an annual funding agreement to manage the National Bison Range. So I want to thank you for your good work, James. And I look forward to hearing your thoughts today. And I'll apologize ahead of time if I have to duck out, but hopefully we'll catch up either here in D.C. or in Montana or maybe on the Palade Ride between the two. Mr. Chairman, this is undoubtedly the most important hearing of Indian Country this year. The federal budget impacts no other group of citizens more than Native Americans. And although I continue working to make sure that the tribes don't have to rely on the government, we still have important responsibilities. Congress was very productive in Indian Affairs last year. As we all know, passing laws is only the first step. Implementing them requires solid leadership, a workable budget, and sound oversight. I look forward to hearing from different panel members today on how you plan to implement the Indian Health Care Improvement Act, Tribal Law and Order Act, legal settlements, including Cobell and others. But in addition to improving health care, housing, and education and public safety, I'm also working to create jobs and increase economic opportunities in Indian Country, as I know is high priority on your guys' list. And I look forward to hearing your ideas on how we get that accomplished. It is a huge challenge. Some of the most exciting opportunities we have out there involve energy. Indian Country contains vast potential of both renewable and traditional forms of energy development. I look forward to working with tribal leaders, the administration, my colleagues on this committee, and in the Senate as a whole to craft this year's Indian Energy Parity Act and other job-related bills. While we work to make tribes self-sufficient through self-determination, the United States still has trust responsibilities. I look forward to hearing from the members of President Obama's administration on how they prioritize their budgets to carry out those important duties. Mr. Chairman, we live in interesting times, and I look forward to hearing from all our witnesses today on what they think our priorities should be as we put together next year's budget. From agency folks, I'd like to hear how you plan to do your work with a little bit less money than in the past. From advocacy groups and tribal representatives, I want to hear about what you're doing to become strong, independent nations that have to rely less on the federal government. From everybody, I'd like to hear your ideas on how government can become more effective. Make no mistake about it, we need to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse so we can invest in the activities that create jobs and improve our families. As we all know, the federal government is at best a safety net in Indian Country. Many argue that it's not even very good at that. I want tribes to have more than just a safety net. I look forward to the hearing today and your suggestions on how we can empower progress in Indian Country. I look forward to being a partner in that process as we move forward. So, Mr. Chairman, congratulations on the chairmanship, and I look forward to working with you as always. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Tester.